Okay, so I'm just going to introduce a couple of videos that you guys are going to get to watch now. The first video we're going to watch is produced by, it's about ministries that that happen on our base. Sadly, Chris and I are not actually in this video because we were away when it was made, but it gives you a real taste of all the different things, which I think Colin and Ben got a really good picture of when they were out. All the different things that we're involved with at YWAM Blantyre. I do like to add one little thing, though, when we watch this video, which is that it's really missing the women in this video. Unfortunately, as I think is often the case even in the UK, the lovely ladies who we work with, when asked to go on, be interviewed on camera, were like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." So you've got all of the guys up there, but pretty much every guy that's up there has a partner, a wife who, in their own right, is also doing the most phenomenal ministries. And you get to see a couple of photos of those ladies, but they're not speaking on the camera. So I just like to add that when you watch this because it looks a bit male heavy.
I'm honoured to introduce to you the work of YWAM in Blantyre, Malawi. We're a community of about 50 people from 8 nations with a common focus to know God and make Him known, but with a specific focus that we believe that there's going to be a wave of Malawian missionaries going to the nations. And also, there's a movement of Malawians taking up the leadership of the church and mission movement here in Malawi to get Malawi ready for that move to the nations of the earth. Over the past years, we've seen an army of passionate Malawian missionaries raised up. And that's kind of what we feel called to do, is just serve people here that have a passion, that have a vision and want to lay down their lives. I want to lay down my life for those that want to go out and serve. Let me tell you, the ministries that these passionate Malawian missionaries are doing, ministering to widows, youth, orphan support, computer training, sewing training, a 6-month mission school, an evangelism school, Bible studies in countless locations, village discipleship, outreach to Muslim tribes, family training, kids work, an evangelism department with door-to-door ministry, Bible distribution, Jesus film, healing evangelism, pastors training. Man, there's so many things that people are doing.
I'm Sunga Nani. I am leading evangelism ministry here at YWAM Blantyre.
I'm doing Bible study at the Forest Village. We're doing the books of the Bible one at a time. We finished the book of Mark, John. Now we're in the book of Acts.
Wish that we had time for me to go through that and be like, this is Sunga Nani, this is Ali, this is their stories, this is, because they're all just such phenomenal, incredible people that we have this unbelievable privilege of working with and growing with. Yeah, it's just incredible. There's also a couple of women that are not in there who Single women, younger and older. We've got a lovely lady called Sipo who's from Zimbabwe, and she heads up our hospitality ministry. So the lovely rooms that were ready, made ready for Colin and Ben were all set up by her. And honestly, she's the most incredible blessing to the base. Because as you can imagine, we have a lot of teams visiting, a lot of visiting speakers, and they've all got to be hosted. And they're coming from all different cultures, and their expectations of what a room might look like and what might be available to them are all very different. And she does the most amazing job organizing all of that, amongst other things, obviously, like Bible studies and women's ministries and... Okay, so the reason, I should probably tell you, the reason I'm so passionate about the women is because that is really my ministry area. So when we first moved to Malawi, I was a qualified youth and community worker. I really thought I was going to be doing youth work out there. I totally ignored a word of prophecy that someone had given us, but we wrote it down, that Hannah would be involved in women's health. And I was like, what? I don't know anything about women's health. I'm not a nurse, or I'm not involved in that in any way. And then some years later, after I had Caleb out in Malawi, I found myself training as something called a doula, which is a professional birth companion. And God has just taken me on this amazing journey. So every single guy, in fact, that you saw in that video, I was there for the birth of their kids. And some of them were also there, which was amazing, because it is not Malawian culture for the men to be present during birth. And honestly, it just completely opened their eyes and changed their worldview entirely and changed their perspective of their wives when they saw these phenomenal, strong women giving birth to their children. So it's been a very exciting time for me, especially the last few years. It's been incredibly busy. There's been, for me, it's been about two births a month. Sorry. So yeah, so that's what I'm involved in. Another picture Chris and I were given before we left for Malawi was, we were given a picture of a goldfish bowl with two fish in it, but facing different directions. And at the time, I felt very strongly that this bowl, I think we had different interpretations of this picture, but my interpretation was that we were in the kingdom of God together, but that we were doing different things. And actually, that's really, really been what's happened, hasn't it? Because Chris's focus is very much education, and mine is very much on women's health and empowering young girls as well. I also work with teenagers, kind of encouraging them not to find their identity in unhealthy relationships, but rather in God. So the next video that we're going to see is to do with the education sphere. So this is a huge project that we've been involved in over the last, is it 2 years, 3 years? But this testimony behind this is one of the guys you just saw, an older guy, Mike Fred, who's one of our elders at YWAM. He is from a village that's local to us called Chiwaya. And in Chiwaya, they had no primary school. And the kids would have to walk to the nearest school, and part of that walk involved crossing a river, which during the rainy season, they couldn't. Like, the parents would try and get them across without them being swept away and stuff like that, but it just, you know, it wasn't safe for them. So for 15 years, Mike Fred and a group of people from that village prayed for a school in that village. And then suddenly, and he's a part of YWAM, God just went bang, 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 and lined everything up. And the land was available, the money was there. It's the most phenomenal testimony. And I just want to encourage anyone who has been praying for something for years, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. You know, don't. My mum prayed for years for my sister's best friend. And we're talking like 20 years, and she became a Christian. So whatever it is, whoever it is you're praying for, don't be discouraged. Just keep doing it, because God's timing is not our timing. And yeah, he fulfills his promises.
Thank you. since before, we have had no school in our community. Coming of this new school in our community is a huge blessing to us. Thank you so much.
We are so grateful to God for Tantoy School. We were not actually expecting to have a school in Chihuahua Village. Before it was built, our children were not able to get to school during rainy season as the bridge to the next village was not safe and they were in danger of being swept away. But now, our children have high quality education and are doing well in class.
Well, it's amazing for me as a primary teacher to be at this school. We are looking to help these learners with quality education so that they can be successful in life. And this school is a Christian school where we are going to help these learners to know God, who is God, so that they can be fruitful in life.
Thank you for your support in building this beautiful school. We really appreciate for the partnership which is there between the community, the village, and the youth with a mission, YWAM. The Ministry of Education has given us, or has posted 16 teachers to this school. But in fact, we are having 7 houses. We need more houses to be constructed at this school. We have got a number of teachers who are coming from afar, covering a long distance to this school, which means they report for duties not in time. So we need more houses to be built at this school.
Praise God with us. The school is open. It's beautiful. Everybody is saying this is the best quality government school they have ever seen. We really thank God for what He has done for this community as you have worked with us. Praise God. Thank you.
And thanks goes a little bit to Ben because some of his running actually helped put some of the boards on the wall. So already, people from this church, you have contributed to that school. So thank you for partnering with us in the gospel. Can we now pray? Because sometimes we watch a video and we can step out of the Spirit, but the Spirit is here. And I just want to encourage us to, as we watch what God is doing in other places, we also want to hear what God is doing in our lives and how we can move forward. So let's just ask God to come and speak with us. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that your presence is so strong here this morning. Lord, we thank you that it's not because of who we are, but because of what you've done. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is just beyond our understanding. And so we ask that you would lead us in this next bit of time, Father, to hear your voice. Lord, we ask that whatever is spoken will be filtered through your Spirit, Father, that we may hear your truth. And Father, you will transform our minds, that they'll be renewed and we can rise and run with you. So speak, Lord, your servants are listening this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you so much for welcoming us. Greetings from Malawi, from Africa. I've spent the last 3 days at a YWAM event in London called the YWAM Think Tank. And actually, we were there to just think around this idea of eldership, because YWAM is now a very big organization. There's 30,000 people trusting in God, working together around the world and working in every country in the world every year. Now, the thing is God has not called YWAM to be an organization. God called YWAM to be a movement to take the gospel. And so how does eldership work in that? And it was really interesting. And one of the key things, really, that we came down to is we can have all these good ideas. We can put all of these systems, but we need the Spirit of God. We need to hear God's voice. Because actually, as we hear that, he takes our imperfect systems and he makes them perfect for his kingdom, or he uses them for his kingdom. I think, I don't know why, but I was really getting this feeling as we were talking during the worship earlier about rejoicing in the Lord, but we don't always feel like rejoicing. And I felt a need to screw up a cup, which is strange. Because actually, when you take a cup, it was a very nice cup when it was manufactured, but I start to screw it up and the cup starts to feel or look a little bit useless.
Okay? But the thing about this cup is actually these cups are very good quality cups. This cup is bruised. It is damaged. But I can tell you that actually, when God pours his spirit into this cup, it can be a blessing for others. Ben, would you like a drink? Take a drink. Actually, the bruises, the brokenness of that cup actually becomes a testimony, a story that allows me to reach other people. Because the problem about having a shiny, beautiful cup, even filled with the Spirit, when it's not broken, is people look and they go, can that really be real? Because we can't relate to it. Because the reality is, life is difficult and we mess up. The scriptures say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So not one of us can put our hands up and say before God, we are righteous, we deserve your love, we deserve your grace. Because actually we don't. We are broken, we are messed up. The devil has got hold of us and he's scrunched us up and he's tried to break us. But God says, in you, as broken vessels, I want to pour your spirit. And in fact, I'm not going to do it in here because I don't want to make a mess. But if we started to punch some holes in that cup, it would be less useful to hold the water, but it would allow the spirit, the water, to flow out of that cup much faster and to make a mess everywhere. Actually, the more broken we become, but we allow God to take hold of that brokenness and use it for his kingdom, we actually become like watering cans wherever we go. And instead of being very tidy Christians, where we keep everything nice and tidy, keep the spirit inside, it's all good, we actually get to take God's kingdom to the nations. And that's what we're called to do, is to go make disciples of all nations. Disciples are people who've lived and been broken and need to follow Jesus. Jesus never called for shiny ones. In fact, the ones who pretended to be shiny, those Pharisees, those were the ones that actually Jesus condemned. And he asks us to come and be real with him. I had the privilege of being involved in babysitting a church in Malawi for a few weeks while some friends went on furlough to Canada. And so we worked our way through the book of Philippians. And if you haven't spent time in Philippians, spend time in Philippians. There's such richness in that book. And starting in the first chapter, Paul reminds us that God has begun a work in our lives and that he will continue to do it. So for each one of us, wherever you are, whether it's been a good journey or a bad journey, whether you have got it right all the time or you have not got it right all the time, God is going to continue to do that good work to take you to that place of completion. That's what God wants to do. That is his purpose in our lives, is he wants to bring us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, Jonah really struggled with that idea, didn't he? And he decided to go completely the wrong direction. But sure enough, he who began a good work in Jonah was going to continue it. It meant Jonah got a bit smelly in a fish. But God continued to do that work in Jonah's life and through Jonah's life. Now, actually, it's a lot better to go willingly, I think. The times where I've not gone willingly, where I've decided to follow my own agenda instead of allowing God to carry out the purpose he had for my life, it's been quite painful and bumpy. And I've learned many good lessons in the process, but some of those lessons I probably didn't need to experience in that way if I'd listened to what God was saying earlier. Because he calls us to walk with him. I need to not spend too much time. I could talk on this for a very long time, so I'll try not to. But let's move into Philippians chapter 3, because again in this passage, it's talking about this race. It's talking about following Jesus Christ. And Paul begins this chapter by saying to the brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's what we were called to do this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We wait on him. We rejoice in him. Our joy comes from him, and that gives us strength. And Paul says, it's not tiresome or it's not tedious for me to say these things that I've said to you before. That's how he starts off. Because Paul knows that we need to keep hearing the truth. As Christians, we need to keep hearing the truth because we forget. We hear it and it goes into our minds, but it kind of floats. Or we get really passionate and then suddenly squirrel. you think my son and squirrels, you should see him. So we took Caleb to the park, Priory Park, and he's there playing on the equipment. He saw a squirrel, and I've never seen anything like it. He looked up like a dog, and he just literally charged in the direction of a squirrel. He loves chasing squirrels. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I need to train him out of it. But sometimes we can be like that, where we're really focused, we've really following what God's got for our lives, and suddenly something comes along and it's like a squirrel. We just disappear, and it's almost an impulse. And we need to keep hearing the truth of God so that he can keep growing us in character, because as Christians, we need to develop character if we are going to be able to keep walking in the way that God is leading us. We are not called to be showroom Christians who turn up to church on Sunday and look all good, but then it has no impact on our lives. God is wanting to renew our minds. As Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove the perfect will of God. That renewing means a change of thinking, a new way of thinking. That means when the squirrels come, they don't have so much impact, because actually we know the truth and the truth has set us free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. We get to that place of freedom because of Christ in us. And Paul talks about we are the circumcision who worship in spirit. So we are the circumcision. We are called by God. We are anointed by his spirit to follow him. And therefore we don't put our confidence in the flesh, on the way we try to be a good Christian, on the way we try to look good, on the way we try to do good projects. In fact, those videos, amazing as it is to see what's happening there, as far as God is concerned, it's filthy rags. It's nothing in terms of the kingdom of God, unless we are surrendered to him. Because actually it's he who does it, not us. But we get to walk with him in that journey. We get the privilege to be part of it. But what we do does not give us credit or brownie points with God. And therefore we need to really understand that and know that our confidence is in Jesus Christ, not in what we do. You know, Paul in this passage, and as I say, I've got to skip through, but he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew. He was like the best Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. He was so zealous that he would even go and kill Christians who were not following the law as he understood it. This was somebody who was passionate for God, but he hadn't got it right. But he had did all of these things that according to the law would look good. And he says, it is as nothing. So instead, he takes us then to verse 12. And he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I am not there yet. I am broken. I am messed up. I am not shiny. I have not earned my way into the kingdom of heaven. I am not righteous in my own strength. So not that I have attained it, but I press on that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. We all hear regularly, I'm sure you hear about Ben's different running exploits and the times and the places and the races that he's running. He presses on. You know, when you're doing a marathon, it's very easy to give up. I promise you I would give up long before Ben does right now. Because I haven't trained, I haven't built, I have not got the capacity to keep pressing on. But actually, as I come before God as I am and I say, God, this is me. You promise to continue to work in me. Come build my capacity. Come give me strength. Help me to press on, Lord Jesus. Help me to run this race. Brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Now, I don't believe that Paul is saying we need to become really forgetful, like everything, we just got to clear it from our minds. That's not what he means there. But it's that not building our identity on things we have done. You know, sometimes we can go through stages where we are really fruitful in our lives. And then something changes. God takes us into a different season. And we can end up feeling a little bit lost. What's going on? Have I missed what God's got? All kinds of questions can come up. And they are good questions because sometimes, yes, maybe we need to come back to God because we've missed something. But there are other times where actually, no, we're in a new season and we need to keep looking forward. We remember what is past in that what we've done, what God did, but we forget it in terms of we're not going to try and go back there. I think often we can try to go back, just like the Israelites were like, let's press on and leave Egypt. And then suddenly they were like, ooh, there was nice vegetables in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back. They were looking back at what had happened in the past. And in Christ, we don't want to be like that. We want to press forward, looking forward to what he's got for us. That upward call of Jesus Christ, that prize that he promises us. So he tells us in verse 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, actually, if we are mature and God has taught us a lot of things, let's live out of that maturity. And if we haven't got everything right, that's okay too. Paul isn't condemning here. In fact, we know that Paul says, and I've forgotten a reference, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we don't need to feel condemned if we're not mature in certain areas. But we have to have that willingness to allow the Spirit to help us to become mature and to grow us. Maturity isn't something that you just go to supermarket and you get. You know, we love this instant culture, don't we? I've got so many apps on my phone since I've come back to England. I can go to Tesco's and I can just wave my phone at the checkout and it pays. That's crazy. I can go to Sainsbury's and I can scan things and it's all here. We want everything now, now, now. And we want, oh, I want some maturity. Let's go beep. No, that's not how it works. But that as we listen and we learn and as God speaks to us, and sometimes we get broken and we get damaged, we grow into maturity. And the thing is, actually, this is good that we allow God to use our situations to mold us and to shape us. Because if you want a tree to bear forth good fruit, you have to prune it. Now, there are important things to remember. You don't prune a tree by getting an axe and chopping off the roots. You die. We don't go and cut off the roots on what God has got for us, our relationship with him. We need to make sure we keep that firm, but God will want to trim other areas of our life so we can be fruitful for him. And that is a good thing. Sometimes a big tree must be brought down to become very small so it can actually grow to be even bigger. There are seasons in our life that God takes us through, and he does it for a reason. And we're called to accept that at times and humble ourselves. That can be difficult. I don't know whether it's a gender thing or not. As a man, I can find it very difficult, but I can sometimes build my identity in what I can do and what I can see and big projects and things like that. And then in a season of my life where I have to step back from having some role or whatever, which I've built my identity in, it feels painful. Now, I'm sure all of us can probably relate to that in different situations. But actually, there is real growth in that as we humble ourselves before God and we remember we are children of God. We are not what we do. We are his children, his sons and his daughters, and we do from the place of being. I think last time I was here, I think we talked about the fact we were ambassadors of God. Yeah? So let us remember this. And in verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What God has taught you, don't waste it. What God has given you, don't waste it. Move forward from this point. In a race, we get to a certain point. Maybe there's a drink stand and we have a quick glass of water. We don't then go back to the start and start the race again. We take our drink and then we move forward from that point. We need to keep moving forward in the kingdom of heaven because there is always more with God. You will never in your entire life have everything that God would love to give you because he is just beyond our comprehension. This is the God of the universe. But he invites us to come and have more and more and more and to grow and to have that revelation. So I want to encourage us this morning that we need to keep pushing forward in this race. It's not about going to Malawi to be a missionary. It's not about being a church leader and getting your qualification. It's not about being recognized as having a position. It's about that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about us being who God has made us to be and letting God grow that in us. You know, there was, I heard a testimony from a lovely African brother, Shefan Mbewe. He's amazing. He's in Liverpool. If you ever want a Christian YWAMA from Africa who really anointed to come and preach, invite him. He's brilliant. But he was just sharing about how he recently had Lauren Cunningham, who was a guy who set up YWAM, came to Liverpool to preach the gospel. And there was this man who met with Jesus because of Lauren preaching to him. And Lauren said to him that you need to go into the sphere that God's made you to go into. And he said, because of that, I became a doctor. Now, actually, sometimes we think when we've got God's call, that it means we've got to go into some spiritual vocation because that's where all Christians should head. But actually, that's not. We are called to influence the whole of society by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are called to step into the spiritual realm of the church. Some of us are called to step into the spiritual world of business, to step into the spiritual world of government, because there is no such thing as secular and spiritual. As Christians, we are called to go and take the gospel to all nations, and that requires us all to be where God has placed us to be. So let's run the race where God has put us. Let's hear what God is teaching us as we keep running this race. And let's believe these truths and let them impact our hearts. Let them renew our minds. Because as Paul said, he's not tired to keep on teaching this. God will keep on teaching us until we get it. But he wants us to go further. And the more we listen and the more we can allow him to move our hearts, the more there is that he can give us and the deeper he can take us. As we spend time worshipping, as we spend time hearing anything else that God wants to say today, let's really invite him to give us that understanding of where we are with him today. So that we know where we stand, but not in a place of, oh, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I'm broken. But actually, this is what God's given me. This is how I stand. This is the Holy Spirit I have in me. God, I need more of your spirit. Give me more of your spirit so that I can go even further. So that I can actually be broken more so I can spill more. The one thing about the cup, once it's broken, the cup can become empty. But if you keep on filling the cup, it never runs dry. So actually, it's better to be a broken cup that's constantly being filled by the Spirit than it is to be a good cup that only gets filled once. So let's be broken people filled by the Spirit that keep getting filled so that we can go and take God's Spirit to the nations. So I think that's really what I wanted to share. So let's just pray. Maybe could we get the musicians up? Is that okay?
What we're also going to do is we're going to take up an offering for Chris and Hannah. And they do live by faith, so it's a really good opportunity to bless them. So all the money that goes into the buckets will go towards them. So feel free to give an offering. Chris is going to pray. I'll let him kind of lead this bit. But it'd be great if any of you want to get prayer from Chris or from anyone this morning, particularly for being filled by the Spirit, then please take the opportunity.
Yeah, so if you would like to hear what's going on in our lives, pick up one of these cards. I think Ben's got them over there. You can email us, contact us, find out more on those cards. I think if you wanted to support one of those Malawi missionaries, some of the ladies have made some sewing stuff, and anything that you buy, we give the money straight back to them. So if you did want to support a Malawi missionary, see, I think Hannah's got some aprons and things. I'm not sure what they are, bags and things, so feel free to have a look if you want to. Let's not lose our focus, though. Let's allow God to take us into his presence. Maybe we can stand, and if you pray in tongues, maybe we can start just speaking to God in tongues, or just speaking to God quietly in our hearts as we invite him to speak to us personally. On how we run forward, how we move forward from this point. Father, we just honor you and we worship you this morning. Father, we thank you that you take us broken. You take us as we are, Father God, and you work on us and you transform us by the power of your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. Father, we thank you. We felt your presence here, but we need more of you. Father God, we never can have enough. We need more. We need to be filled more. We want to experience you more. And so, Father, I pray that you just give us what we need today. Father, you say, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you provide what we need. And so, Lord, we come to you now and we say, God, we want to keep running the race. Father, we want to keep learning what you are trying to teach us. We want to allow you to prune us and to grow us into trees of righteousness that bear good fruit. Father, lead us, fill us, open our ears to hear what you are saying today. And Lord, I just pray for any of us, if we are feeling broken, Father God, that we will know that we are still your children. We know that you are still with us. Father, that does not disqualify us from your presence. That does not disqualify us from the calling that you have for our lives. And Lord, we don't need to wait until we're fixed. We actually just need to keep taking that step. Lord, help us to take that step today. Come, Lord Jesus, reveal your heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Maybe if the worship team can lead us in a song, and then if you want to be prayed for, then I think maybe we can get into small groups of people who want to have prayer. So, we in this church believe in the priesthood of all believers. So let's come forward, because there's lots of space in this room. Let's come forward, but then we will gather together and pray for one another. Because actually, if there's not one of us, I can't pray for you because I've got it. Because the reality is I'm as broken and messed up as you are in a different way because of different things. But we come and we allow God to take us forward. So let's worship, and if you really feel that today I need to respond to this, come forward and we will pray together, and then if God wants to say anything else, we will allow him to do that. Let's worship.